Begin the current daf and start this Yuma daf mem base. We begin 10 lines down from the top of the Yomid. The Gemara continues a similar discussion as it had in the previous daf, and that is our Mishnah on Amid Beis had introduced the Lashon Shel Zahiris, the thread of red wool that's tied around the head of the Sar La'azazel. So related to that, Rabbi Yitzchak had said a statement. He says that he heard about two Lashonis, two threads of red wool, that of the Paraduma and that of the Sar La'azazel. He said, and each one had a certain halach, and I didn't know which one applied to which one. So similar to that, the Gemara makes another statement from Rabbi Yitzchak, again relating to two things that he heard that have the same area of halacha and that he doesn't know how to differentiate. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Shtei shchita shemati." So I heard about two different types of slaughtering. Acha shel par, one related to the paraduma, the acha shel paroi, and one regarding his par, a reference to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, that he brings his own par, his own bull for him and his family and all the kahanim. And I heard that achas kasher bizar, one of these shchitas are valid with a non-kohen, but achas psul bazar, one of them is invalid with a non-kohen. But I don't know how to differentiate which one is it, the paraduma or the par of the kohen gadol, Yom Kippurim, which one is the one that's kasher bazar, and which one is the one that's not kasher bazar. So the Gemara brings itma, we learned, that actually shchitas parum parai, the slaughtering of the paraduma and the par of the kohen gadol, Yom Kippurim, which one's kasher bazar and which one's not, is a machlekes ravishmul. Chadamar para pesula para kasher. One says actually that the paraduma is the one that's invalid, and the par of the kohen gadol is the one that's kasher to be slaughtered by a zar. The chadamar one says the reverse, para pesula para kasher, that his par of the kohen gadol is kash, is pasul, but the paraduma is kasher. So that the Gemara says tistayim, we can prove the Rav Huda Amar par pesula, that Rav is, because as it was quoted in the Messiah, it didn't say which one was attributed to which opinion, but we can prove that Rav is the one that said that the slaughtering of the paradigma with a zar is going to be invalid, because the Amar Bzer, because Reb Zeri had taught shchitas par bizar pesula. Reb Zeri said clearly that slaughtering the paradigma with a zar by a non-kohen is going to be invalid. Va'amar Rav Allah, and Rav said an explanation of that halacha, clearly showing that he identifies with that opinion, by quoting a pasuk in Bamidbar that says Elazar. That is in the pasuk regarding the paraduma. It says v'nesatem oisa el Elazar kohen v'goimer, etc. That you should give it to Elazar the kohen. Now it says also over there v'chuka shaninuba, that we learned both the terms of Elazar, who is a kohen, and chuka, which it says in the pasuk zeis chukas atayra. Now wherever, as we explained in the previous staff, wherever it says the term chuka, chak, it means a statute, it means that that's exactly how it has to be. It can't be any other way, that it's mi'akiv. And therefore we see that Elazar, who is mentioned, that he should be doing the avoida by the paraduma, it has to be done, chukah, it always has to be done through a kohen, and therefore that's how Rav was supporting the halacha that Reb Zeir was saying, that a shchita of a zar is possible by the paraduma. And therefore clearly we see that Rav is of the opinion that says that the paraduma is possible, and for the zar to slaughter the par of the kohen gadol Kippurim would be kasher. Now that we have clearly who says which opinion, now the Gemara asks on both opinions of Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara asks, V'Rav, Maishno para, why is the paraduma is different than generally old karbanis, which we're going to say that the shchit is going to be kasher with a zar, but here we're saying that it's going to be invalid for the slaughtering of the paraduma to be done by a non-kohen. Tachsiv, as Rav had just explained, because it says Elazar b'chuka, it says it has to be done with a Elazar kohen, and then it says the term of chuka, which always says that this is exactly how the things have to be. You can't change it to have it, let's say, done by a non-kohen. But parinami hoksiv, but regarding the power of the kohen gadol Kippurim, there it also has these two terminologies, these two criteria of aharon v'chuka, and that is in the pasuk of Mayukat Zayin, it says v'hikar v'aharon es parachatas ha'shaloi, which is a reference to Aaron the kohen gadol doing the avoda on Yom Kippurim, that he should bring his bull of the chatas that's for himself, a chiper, and he should create an atonement, v'shachar es parachatas ha'shaloi, and he should slaughter the bull that's a chatas for himself. And it says in Parshas Achrei Moisim, relating to the topic of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, it says, "V'hoisez leis lechem l'chukas oilam." This should be for you a chukas oilam l'chapal b'nei Yisrael, to create an atonement for the Jewish people. And therefore, essentially, the same drush that Rav makes regarding the paraduma, that it says a kohen and it says chukah, so you have the same thing by the pari of the Kohen Gadol. How could he say over there it's going to be kasher? There it also says aharon and chukah, just like there it says Elazar, who is a kohen and chukah. So that the Gemara answers, shchita lav avodihi. Slaughtering is not considered one of the avoidas in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, when it says chukah regarding the avoidas of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim, and that it has to be with Aaron, that was regarding avodas that are considered services. Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika, but not regarding the Shechita. And therefore, Chuka wasn't going on the Shechita. But then the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, the Paranami. So why don't you say the same thing about the Paraduma? Yes, it says a Lazar of a Chuka by the avodas of Paraduma, but Shechita slaughtering is not part of the avoda. Therefore, Chuka should not be going the Shechita either. So why are we saying the Shechita Bizarre is possible by the Paraduma? I thought the Gemara answers, no, Shani Para. Para is different. The Kachi Bedika Baisi. It's not what's called Kedushas Mizbeach. It's not brought as a Karban Mizbeach because we don't sacrifice any part. Actually, it's done outside of the area of the Temple Mount. And therefore, it's in the category of Kedushas of Bedika Baisi, of the Temple Fund type of sanctity. And since it doesn't have Kedushas Mizbeach and only Kedushas Damim, as we said, because its slaughtering actually takes place on the Har HaMishcha, so therefore, you can't designate any of them as, quote, an avoida to differentiate and say, oh, what is an avoida requires a kohen, what's not an avoida does not require a kohen, because essentially none of them are really, quote, avoidas, because it's not a kachim mizbeach. It's not an avoida that requires kabbalah. It's like temple fund, which anyone could take care of and do, and therefore, it doesn't require any, so therefore, since the pasuk is saying that it does require a lazer, because on some level chukah is mandating that it requires a kohen, so that must be it's going in everything, because you can't differentiate and say shechita is different in this case because not an avoid, they're all not avoid this, and yet the pasuk still requires it, and therefore there we're going to say that the shechita bazar is going to be possible. But then the Gemara asked, but v'lav kol dekeinu, but isn't it a kol shekein? How does this make sense? You're saying regarding the slaughtering of the para of the kohen, the para of the kohen gadol, which that has a physical sanctity, it's a regular carbon. And you're saying that chukah is not going on the shechita. Yet you're saying by the slaughtering of the paraduma, which you're saying there chukah will be going on the shechita, and it's going to be invalid by zar. It doesn't make sense. How can you say that something which is a higher sanctity, that requires that it requires a kayin, yet we're going to say, however, the slaughtering is not a avayda, and it's not going to require a kayin, but paraduma, which is not even it's a kedushas mizbeach, and there you're going to say that the shechita will require a kohen and it can be invalid by zar. How can we say that? Isn't it a kol shekein from the case of the par of the kohen gadol in Yom Kippur? Then the Gemara says no, it's not a kol shekein because Amar Rav Shisha bar Yehuda of Idi, midi dehava maras negoim. I'll show you that we have a similar phenomena by the mara of negoim, where it says in the pasuk v'huvel aron hakohen that the one who has the nega will be brought to Aaron HaKohen. Now, the lava avoidhi, that's not an avoida. It's not shechita, it's not kabbalah, it's halacha, it's not anything thing. It's just to visualize and to see if that's a neger or not. Ubaikun, and still we require a kohen. Now, if that's the case, then you require a kohen, so therefore it's not a kol shekein. You can see that there's something that's not an avoida and requires a kohen, therefore the same thing's over here. Yes, the shechita by the para aduma will require a kohen, like all the other, quote, non-avoidas that are going on over there, and it still requires a kuna. And therefore, there's no difference between shechita and all the other things. And therefore, it's going to be possible bizarre because it requires a laws of b'chuka. But here, b'haran b'chuka, that's going only on what the category is, which is kachem mizbeach, that are avaydis. But shechita, which is not an avayda, will actually be kasher by the power of the kohen gadol and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara has resolved the opinion of Rav. Now the Gemara asks v'le Shmuel. According to Shmuel, the Amar that he said, pari psula, actually the opposite of Rav, that for a non-kohen to slaughter the par, the bull of the kohen gadol and Yom Kippurim, would be invalid, whereas the paraduma through a zar would be kosher. But the Gemara asks, Maishna parai, why is the par of the kohen gadol different? The reason why it's possible for a zar to slaughter it is because it says that it has to be done with Aaron, and chukah says that that's the way it has to be, you can't change that. Therefore, that includes everything, including the shechita. But paranami haksev alaz of a chukah. The paraduma also says alaz of a chukah, and therefore there also the shechita should be required to be done by a lazer, by a kayin. So why over there is the slaughtering of the paraduma going to be kosher? So that the Gemara answers shani hasam. The paraduma is different. Tichsev because it's a pasuk that explicitly is telling you that the shechita does not have to be done by a kayin. How so? Because the pasuk tells him by midbar b'shachar oisah lefanav, that it should be slaughtered in front of him. Now, from the fact that it says in front of a lazer, it sounds like that shechita is not being done by him. Rather, someone else is slaughtering it in front of him, which the limud is, that the non-kohen could slaughter in front of the kohen who is a lazer. And that's how Shmuel learns that, yes, by para the kohen gadol kippurim, he doesn't say like Rav to differentiate between the shechita and the rest. No, everything has to be done by the kohen gadol, by Aaron, and therefore it's going to be valid if it's done by the Zahar. But regarding the Paraduma, actually the opposite of Rav, the Pasuk is telling you that it only has to be slaughtered in front of him, but he himself doesn't have to, and therefore it's going to be Kasher Bizar. Now the Gemara asks for Rav, What does he do with that? So he says, no, the pasuk is not telling you what Shmuel had said. Truthfully, Elazar is the one that's slaughtering it. What does it mean, lefanav, that it should be done in front of him? That he should not remove his thought from the paraduma, from safeguarding it. That's what it means, lefanav, it should be slaughtered in front of him, meaning he should be present there in his consciousness. He should be constantly thinking about it, but of course he himself is doing the slaughtering. Then the Gemara asks, where does he know this halacha that he's not allowed to be masir das from the safeguarding of the paraduma from when he's doing it, because he doesn't have the pasuk that Rav is using of lefanav, because he actually learns lefanav to say that someone else is doing it in front of him. So nafkele learns off in the pasuk in Bamidbar that says mi v'sarf esapara le'enav. It says that the paraduma should be burnt in front of his eyes. Now, what does it mean in front of his eyes? It means to say that it should be constantly focusing on the making sure that it's being safeguarded. So therefore, you see that he's not being masir das. But Rav, what would he do with that? He says, chad b'shchita v'chad b'sreifa u'tzricha. You need to have both pasukim. You need the pasuk of lefanav, which he's utilizing for the halacha of not being masir das, and le'enav to tell you again another halacha of not being masir das. Because one's talking about b'shachat oisa lefanav, by the slaughtering, and one's talking about b'saraf, the burning of it, le'enav. Because the ikaz rachmana b'shchita, had the Torah only told you regarding the slaughtering lefanav, that you're not being masir das, I would have thought to say, Mishum detchilis avoidehi, that's the beginning of the avoideh, it's the beginning of the process, and therefore that requires not being masir das. The beginning is important. Alvasreifeim aloi, but the burning which comes later, there you don't have the prohibition of being masir das, so tzricha, therefore you needed the pasuk of the service of par le'enav. Now, v'ikaz rachmana b'sreifa, had we only told you the halacha of not being masir das by the burning, Mishum dehashtahu miskasha par, because now this is when the paraduma becomes viable. Because the whole purpose of the paraduma was only to create the ashes to then use that to spray on the person that's tummy. And therefore, then when you're burning it, oh, this is the main point, this is the main event, there you're not being masir das. But regarding the slaughtering, which is not the significant factor, so to speak, there you would not have a problem of being masir das. So tricha, that's what I had to say, that even there, one cannot be masir das, and therefore you needed both halachas. Now the Gemara asks on this, lemu'ute mai. Now, what are we excluding from one of the activities of the paraduma that we're saying that it won't be a problem of being masir das? In other words, we said that one pasuk tells you the slaughtering, one tells you the burning, that there you not be masir das. What is being excluded from that? That we're saying that, oh, if you masir das, it will not be a problem. So the Gemara says, ilayim lemu'ute asifas afara. If you're saying it's excluding, let's say, the gathering of the ashes, where the pasuk says, v'asif ishtahar, someone has to gather the ashes, which then goes into the process, or umilumayim, the filling up of the water, which is to put inside of it the ashes to then spray it, lekidush, for the sanctification, which again, that's the putting of the water on the ashes where it gets mixed together, where maybe one of these processes, if they're being masir das, that won't be a problem. But that the Gemara asks on the Midbeis, but lemishmeris lemeinidiksim. The pasuk says that this should be safeguarded for the purifying waters, which sounds like that it has to be safeguarded until it's actually sprayed on the person that's tummy. So all these things are in the middle of the process. You can't say that you could be masir das at that point because it says it has to be safeguarded the entire time. So what are we saying that it says by the slaughtering and the strafe, that what is being excluded that doesn't have to have das the entire time? The Gemara says, Ella rather lemu'ute hashlochas eitz erez ve'ezav ushnitalas. It's coming to exclude the throwing in of the cedar wood and of the hyssop, the ezav, and the thread of the red thread, the lav gufa departin, that when you have to throw that into the fire where the paraduma is burning to create the ashes, where they're not a part of the actual paraduma itself, they're ancillary in the sense that they're secondary to the process, there would be no psul of hesach hadas. And that's what we're excluding. We're saying, yes, the entire avoid of the paraduma may not have hesach hadas, but these things which are secondary, if one is masir das on these parts of this process, that will not invalidate the avoid of the paraduma. Now, regarding this machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, of para or parai, which one is the problem if it's done and slaughtered through a zar, so the Gemara brings itma that there are others that argued about this. Shchitas para bazar, the slaughtering of the paraduma done through a non-kayan, Rabbi Ami Amar Kshera, he says that it's kosher. Rabbi Yitzchak Chaim Psul, he says invalid. Ula Amar Kshera, Ula says it's kosher. Ba'amri Lan, some say that he said psul, that's invalid. So again, that they argued in the same machlokes. Now, Masa Rabbi Shua Bar Abba, he asked on the opinion of Shmuel, L'siyu L'Rav, to support the opinion of Rav, from the following halacha, that we see that a para aduma that was slaughtered by a zar is going to be invalid, like the pin of Rav. But the Braisa says, "Einli ela hazois memehal." Now, I would only know regarding the spraying of the water. These are the final product that's made, the para aduma, that liquid that's then thrown on the person that's tamei day 3, day 7. So I would only know regarding that halachic process of the paraduma, she'ink sharin be'isha ki be'ish, that will not be valid to be done through a woman like a man, as the Gemara will explain later on. And ve'ink sharin el bayim, and that I would know that that's only valid if it's done during the daytime, as the pasuk in Bamidbar Yoteh says, hu yischat boy bayim ha'shlishi, that he will be purified on the third day, has to be during the day. So I would know regarding the hazah, the spraying of this liquid on the person that's tamei, that has to be done through a man and during the day. But minayin l'rabba is how would I know to include shchitasa, the slaughtering of the paraduma, the kabbalas dama, the receiving of the blood, the hazdas dama, and the spraying of the blood, which is done el noichach p'nei oil maid, which is done in the direction, because we're on a different mountain over here, in the direction of the oil maid 7 times, v'srei fasa, and the burning of the paraduma, v'hashlochas 8 eras, v'ezav v'shnei telas, and the throwing in of the cedar wood, and the ezav, and the thread, the red thread, that will only be kosher if it's done during the daytime. Now, as Rashi says, because regarding the halacha, that it will not be valid if it's done through a woman, that I wouldn't need to be included in the, because that already says in all these areas of halacha that it talks about in the Torah regarding the Shechita Kabbalah, it either says the term Elazar or Kain, so that I know that in these different areas related to the Paraduma, that's not valid with a woman, and because it requires a man. But on that, the Bryce is asking, how do I know that they're also only valid if they're done during the daytime, not at nighttime? So Tamalei Matayra, that's what the Pasuk includes when it says, Zeis Chukas HaTayra, that it means to say that they all have one halacha, which means to say that they all share that common criteria that it has to be done during the daytime. Now, that the Bryce says, so Yochel Shani Marba, I would think to include also that they have to be done during the daytime, afasiva safara, even the gathering of the ashes, umilumayim v'kiddush, and the filling up of the ashes with water and the sanctification of those waters, that they also have to be done during the daytime. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches, however, that zeis, it says this, whatever is written, that's how it should be, and nothing more. And therefore, these things are excluded, that they don't have to be done during the daytime. Now that the Gemara, the Braisa asks, Umari Isa l'Rabba says, Elu, where did you see fit to include all those which you did include, the slaughtering, the receiving the blood, the burning and throwing in the eight eras, that they are included in that halacha that have to be done during the daytime? But to exclude those other areas of gathering the ashes and putting the water with the ashes together, that they don't have to be done during the daytime. So that the Braisa says it, Acha Shariba Hakasa, once the Torah is including by using the terminology of Torah, Umir ends excluding by using the term of Zeis. Now, but it doesn't tell us what to include, what to exclude. So Amrit, so you have to say, now that it didn't say explicitly what it is, that we have to look into it to see which one is the true and right way of how to divide the rest of the Avedis. And therefore, Hare'inu lemeidim kulon mahazois memeho. Essentially, we learn all of these different areas from the spraying of its waters, which there is where the source says that it's invalid if it's done by nighttime. As we said, the Pasuk says, Hu yischata bay b'yom ha'shlishi, has to be done during the daytime of the third day. That's who yischata is in reference to the spraying of the waters. And therefore we learn that mahazois mimeha, just like the spraying of its waters, in kishirin b'isha k'b'ish, is not valid if it's done through a woman, as it has to be done through a man. As the Gemara says later on, that it says, V'lokach eza v'tovel b'mayim ish tahar, that it has to be a pure man that's doing the hazah, and therefore ve'ink she'nel bayayim, and that's also the source where we learn that it's only valid if it's done during the daytime. So often the obvious. So what am I going to include also that will have the same halacha that has to be done during the daytime? Shchitasa, its slaughtering, v'kabbalas dama, the receiving of its blood, v'hazah's dama, the spraying of its blood, v'srifasa, and its burning, v'hashlochas eitz erz v'ezev v'shnitelas, and throwing in the cedar wood and the ezev and the red thread. Hail, why will I include those things? Because in another area, they are similar to the halacha that we're trying to learn out from. Because ve'ink sharin be'isha kibish, they're also not kosher to be done with a woman as it requires a man, just like by the hazah of the mayim requires a man. And therefore, ink sharin el b'yayim, therefore it's only going to be valid if it's done during the daytime. However, umaitzani, what will I exclude from that requirement of being done during the daytime? I will exclude asifa sefara, the gathering of the ashes, umilimayim v'kiddush, and the putting in of the water with the ashes and thereby sanctifying it. Because by those processes, they are valid to be done by a woman just like a man. And therefore, they will not, since they're not similar in that aspect, we also will use them as the exclusionary that will not be included in the comparison to the spraying of the water, and rather that they will also be kosher by day and by nighttime. Now the Gemara asks on this point that the Gemara had introduced this. We had introduced this braisa because Reb Shu Bar Abba wanted to support Rav to show from here that the paraduma that's slaughtered by a non-kayin will be pasul, not like Shmuel. So the Gemara asks, where do you see in this braisa a refutation of Shmuel's opinion? Now, ilema medib besul and beisha, if you want to prove from here not like Shmuel, because from the fact that a woman is invalid, because as we learned that the slaughtering of the paraduma is invalid to be done by a woman, therefore you want to conclude pasul and nami bazar, therefore it's going to be invalid if it's done by a non-kayan. Well, that the Gemara asks on this, but we could disprove that logic from the spraying of the water of the paraduma ashes, where that's invalid to be done by a woman, but it is valid to be done by a non-kayin, and therefore there's no such logic to say that if something is invalid by a woman, that it's also going to be invalid by a non-kayin. And therefore, yes, maybe shchit is psula by isha, but who said shchit is psula by a zar? And therefore, there's no refutation of Shmuel's opinion. Amar Baya, however, Baya says no. Haini to yufte. Yes, this is the refutation of Shmuel's opinion. How so? Because you have to go deeper, and that is, Isha Mai Taima, what's the reason by a woman? In other words, where does the Braisa know that slaughtering is going to be invalid if it's done by a woman? And that is because, as Rashi explains, whereas by the receiving of the blood and the spraying of the blood, the Pasuk tells us, V'lokach ha-lazer ha-koin midama, that it says that he will take the blood and he'll spray it, and he'll take it, that's the Kabbalah, that's the receiving of the blood. Then it says, V'hizel noichub na'ayel mo'id, that he will spray it in the direction of the oil mo'id, that's the spraying. Now the burning, it also says in it the term kayin, and then it says, V'sarf ha-sapar le'enav, that's avalazer. The throwing of the eitz and the ezav, it says the term kayin. So regarding all these things, we know it has to be done by a man, not by a woman. Either because it says kain, which is only the kahuna could only be done that way just by men, or it says that it has to be done by a lazer. So we know it has to be done by a man. But the question is, how does the braisa know, which that clearly it is saying, that shchita by a woman is going to be invalid? Must be, because the pasuk says, a lazer b'lo isha, must be from the pasuk that was being debated on Amet Aleph between Rav and Shmuel, where it says, v'shachat oisa lafanav, it should be slaughtered in front of him. Now, must be that when we're saying in front of him of Elazar, that must be the Tana of this Braisa is learning that Pasuk like Rav. Because if it meant that someone else is slaughtering in front of Elazar and he's just witnessing it, like Shmuel had said, then where do you see anywhere an exclusion of a woman doing the slaughtering? Must be that the Tana is learning it from Elazar, that Elazar is the one that does the slaughtering. And therefore, just like we exclude a woman from there because Elazar is a man and not a woman, so too, Zarnami must be that the Braisa will hold to exclude a non-Kayin because you have the same drasha of Elazar v'loizar. There has to be Elazar, which was a Kayin, so he was a man and a Kayin. So just like we see from Elazar, that B'shachat Isa Lefanov must be the Braisa saying, it means that he's doing the slaughtering, not someone else in front of him. Because or else we would have no way of excluding a woman, and the Braisa is clearly excluding a woman. So just like the fact that he's a man is excluding the fact that a woman cannot do the shechita, so the fact that it says a lazer and it says chuka to say just like he was a kohen, that means to exclude a zar, a non-kohen cannot do the slaughtering of the paraduma, and therefore that's a refutation of the opinion of Shmuel regarding the shechita of a zar. Rather, it's like Rav who says that it's going to be invalid. Now the Gemara continues into a related topic regarding what we were speaking about, the paraduma. Defining the whole parsha, the whole topic of the paraduma. So Amar Ula Ula says, Kol ha-parsha kula, the entire parsha in the Torah that talks about the paraduma, like its order of how its services, the process should be done. So then, if one looks into the psukim in the Torah, it's very difficult to understand what the parsha is trying to tell you, as if that it has a common thread running through it, as if the psukim are aligned one with the other. Rather, Mashma meitzim yad mashma. You have places in the Pesukim where what it's saying now is coming to exclude what the Pasuk said before that. In other words, what the Pasuk had previously said is invalid, the Pasuk later will say it is valid. Or what the Pasuk had previously said is valid is going to say now it's invalid. However, umashma memela. But however, there are psukim that their inferences are that what we had been maintaining up until now is maintained, that it will retain the pshat that it was saying, and it's not coming to exclude what was previously said. And therefore, what Ul is saying is that if one looks into the exposition of the order of the psukim, he can define which terms in the psukim of the Parsha Paraduma are coming to exclude what was previously said, and which ones are the ones that are memela that maintain the prior status quo of what the psukim are saying. And now Ula begins his drushes of the words in the psukim of the Paraduma to define which ones are excluding what we had assumed up until now, and which ones are maintaining the definitions we had up until now. As it begins, now the pasuk that he begins darshaning is a pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Yutes pasuk Gimel that says Unisatim Oisah El Elazar HaKayin, that it should be given over to Elazar the Kayin. V'hoitzi Oisah El Mechutz LaMachne, he will then take out the Paraduma out of the camp. V'shachad Oisah Lefanav, and it will be slaughtered in front of him. Now in that Ula says as follows. It says Unisatim Oisah El Elazar HaKayin, that the Paraduma will be given over to Elazar HaKayin. Now the drush is Oisah LaElazar, that this paraduma is given over to the Elazar who is the skan. He was the deputy of Kayin Gadol. He was the son of Aaron HaKayin. But the inference is v'lo yladaris l'Elazar. However, for the future generations, it's not given over to Elazar. Only this one now in the times of the desert, but not for future generations. Now, so there's a machlokes how to define what that inference is. Ikeda ameda, those that say l'daris b'kayin gadol, that means for future generations, it's not enough to be done with the skan, the deputy, which is Elazar, rather has to be done with the kayin gadol. Ikeda ameda, those that say l'daris b'kayin hedjit, rather it doesn't have to be done with such a high level like a skan. It could even be done with a common kayin, with a regular kayin. So now the Gemara asks, so bishlam l'mando amal l'daris b'kayin hedjit shaper. According to the pin that says that for future generations, only this generation has to be done. Isa has to be done with Elazar. Future generations can be done with any kind. So that makes sense, because since the Torah is not establishing with you explicitly who is the one that has to do it, skan of the kind God, so it sounds like any kind's kasher. Only this generation has to be done with the skan with Elazar, but other ones not, and that would sound like any kind. But the one that says that means for other future generations, it's not enough with Elazar, the skan has to be with the kind God, the highest level. Minali, where does he get that from? Where do you see that has to be done just with the kind God? So now the Gemara says, Gamar chuka miyam kippurim. That man Dama learns that it says the term chuka by the paraduma, and it says the term chuka by yom kippurim, just like by yom kippurim it had to be done with the kohen gadol, so too future generations require that the paraduma has to be done by the kohen gadol. Now Ula continues expounding that same pasuk. It says in that pasuk, v'hoitzi oisa, and then he takes it out of the area of the Beis HaMikdash, and he heads towards the Har HaMishcha. Now the inference is v'hoitzi oisa, that he takes it out, the paraduma, shlo yoitzi acher sima, that he shouldn't take out any other cow with it when he's taking it out. Only that should he be taking out. And that is kitnan, like we learned in the Mishnah Masech Despara, specifically for the opinion of Rebbe. The Mishnah will quote a machloikis, and one opinion will quote this pasuk v'hoitzi oisa as the source to exclude allowing to take out two at a time, as the Mishnah tells us. The first opinion says, Lahoisa para roitza lotzis. If let's say the paraduma didn't want to go out. So sometimes they'll try to get it motivated by having another animal move in front of it, and then it'll see it and follow along. And that the Mishnah tells us, Emaitzini mashchaira, when I'll take out together with the paraduma at the same time, a black cow, Shlayemir shchaira shachter, that they shouldn't say, oh, that they slaughtered a paraduma that was a black one, not a red one as it's supposed to be. And Ve'in Emaitzini mahaduma, also now I'll take out with it at the same time, a red cow, that they shouldn't say that they slaughtered two of them. And that's because there's a halacha that tells us in Masechtas Para that any malacha that's done together with the paraduma will invalidate the paraduma. And therefore, whoever's involved in any of the malachas of the paraduma from the beginning till the end will invalidate it if it does another malacha. As the Gemara later on, Daf Mem Gimel Alf tells us similarly by the rest of the pasuk that says, B'shachat Isa, that he will slaughter it, means only that could you be slaughtering it and nothing else. And therefore, the first opinion in the Mishnah is saying that you can't take out a black one because then they'll say, oh, look what they brought paraduma, it was a black one. You also can't take out a red one because they're going to say that you took out two of them. And two red ones, that means you did the avoid of two of them, and that we know is possible because you can't do two of them at the same time, so it can't be a black one or a red one. Rabbi Eimer, he argues in the first opinion of that Mishnah, and he says, Loimin Hashem Huzeh, the reason why you can't take out a black one with it at the same time or a red one with it is not because, quote, shlo yoimru, that people shouldn't say. Oh, but a black one, they're going to say, oh, you did it with a black one. The red one, they can say, oh, you did two at the same time, and that's invalid. Like we had been quoting that Ula was darshaning the pasuk, because it says in the pasuk, that you should take it out, lavad, that means it itself. So nothing to do with these reasons that people are going to say things, just because the pasuk says you should take it out and nothing else. So that the Gemara asks, that seems to be a good point. So Tana Kama, so the first opinion of that Mishnah, Haksiv Aysa, it says in the pasuk, you should only take it out, no other animal out. Why is he saying, coming up all these reasons why you can't do it? Because the pasuk says it and nothing else. So that the Gemara answers, Man Tana Kama, who is the first opinion of that Mishnah Masechtas Parah? Reb Shimon Hi, the Darish Taimi Dikra, that he expounds the reasonings behind the mitzvahs that are said in the Pesukim. For example, as the Gemara Masechtas Bava Metzia, Daf Kof Tes Vav and Medav says, that although it says in the Torah one cannot take a mashkin, collateral, from a widow, from a widower, Reb Shimon, however, tells us that from a wealthy almana, one could take a mashkin. And the reason is because the Torah was only forbidding it from a poor widow. And the reason is, and that's where he comes in with his time of the krah, because if it's a poor widow, you're constantly going to have to be coming back and forth, taking from her, returning it to her because she has to use it. Now, you're going to give her a bad name in the neighborhood. Here's a widow. Here's a man coming back and forth. What's he doing coming back and forth? The Torah says, you now take a mashkin from almana. But it only really means a poor one. A wealthy one, so you take it, she never needs it back. Until she pays up, you'll hold on to it. You're not going to cause her a bad name because you're not coming back and forth. There actually, you could take a mashkin. And therefore, since Reb Shimon qualifies certain halachas in the Torah, which would seem to be general, he says, no, depending on the situation, based on the reasoning behind it, that will be the halacha. So therefore, yes, he agrees that it says oisa. You can't take out the para. It has to be by itself. But he qualifies it. You know why it has to be by itself? Is because if you take out a black one, people are going to say this. If you take out a red one, people are going to say that. And that's why, but again, the source is Aisa, but the reasoning to qualify it is based on the logic of what people are going to say. Now, that the Gemara asks, so my benayu, so what is the practical difference between the two opinions? What is it that they're arguing about? If anyways they say you have to take it out itself and with nothing else, if anyways there's reasons behind them, fine, there's reasons, but halachically, what's the difference? So that the Gemara answers, the difference between them is, when we continue on top of Mem Gimel and Aleph, the apik chamor bahada. If you don't take out another cow with it, rather you take out a donkey with the paraduma when you're leaving the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, that is according to Tana Kama, that of Reb Shimon, it will be permitted to do that because there's no Shema Yaimer. What are people going to say? Oh, for the paraduma, they took a black one, they did two at the same time. It's a donkey. No one is thinking that they're using a donkey for the paraduma. So there was no Isser of Isa. But according to Rebbe, who does not darshan time the crow, we don't know the reasons behind it. We can try to taste the reasons, the timing, but that we can't qualify halacha based on that. It would be Isser because Lamaisa, the Torah says, Isa, it, nothing else. The only thing that could be leaving at the same time is nothing else but itself. And therefore, that would include even a chamar.